Hello, welcome back to Animoot. I'm Crown, and over here is Onion Skin, and today's topic is going to be ideas versus execution.
Yes, I like ideas versus execution. This is one of my favorite topics, so I might ramble for a bit, because I find that, well, ideas are easy. Everyone has ideas. It's executing that's the hard part, that's sort of the wrapped up version, because many, many artists and young people and just aspiring creators, whatever it has, well, just people in general. Anybody has good ideas for a thing. And you know that's a thing because the internet exists and everybody is there giving their opinions and thoughts and just rambles and critiques about everything and usually making a huge big deal about different kinds of media much more than they need to, right? So like a film or a video game, whatever. People be like, oh, that was dumb. Should have done it this way. Here's what I would have done if I was in charge. You know, I mean, I think we're all kind of guilty of that. Are you guilty of that?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I make a living off of doing that. I mean, not necessarily critiquing. Okay, totally about critiquing or just pointing things out. And yeah, I always think about how I would do things differently. And you kind of have to because you need to be able to identify what it is about things you like or don't like that you would do differently. So when you make your own thing, you know how to make it better.
Right. Okay. So my point with that is having good ideas doesn't make you special. And you're not a great creator or writer. Okay. So this is something I come across a lot where I find a lot of people who are aspiring writers or artists or animators or whatever, and their whole juxtaposition is based upon the idea of having what they believe to be a great idea.
Okay, wait, let's just say, I just want to reiterate it one more time. Having good ideas does not make you special.
So often I come across people where that's the case, right? And they're kind of just waiting for their big break to get invited into a studio or to have a book published or to get hired by a game studio simply because they have a good idea for a thing. And there's a few common culprits. The first is like, it's like, oh, you have an idea for a game. Cool. What is it? And then they rattle off something that is on the scope of like World of Warcraft or Skyrim or something. Have you met anyone like that?
Well, actually, I'm thinking specifically of a particular person and they might be listening. So hello. But they have an idea where they want to make their own anime and it's going to be 300 episodes long.
Okay. Excellent example.
Yeah.
It's kind of rude to simply say, well, it won't happen, because usually that builds people up with FU motivation and a lot of, you know, you can get a lot done out of spite.
And then they might actually do it.
Well, if you can pull it off, like, you know, good on you. But getting commissioned for a 300 episode thing, one, that simply does not happen. You get commissioned for a pilot, then maybe 12 episodes at a time. And you'll have 2 dozen people interfering at every point being like, hey, let's change everything. And you'll be like, that's going to affect episode 273. You know, like, there is no way you can go into a large, big budget process with your whole universe and plot thread just locked in.
Yeah, because what will happen is something will change after input from other people, and then your whole story is just gone. Well, it's kind of weird, because as animators, you don't have the liberty of writing everything yourself. When you're an author, it's a little bit different. Of course, you have editors, so some major elements of your story still change, but I feel like if you're a writer, what we're talking about now about writing your whole story out doesn't apply as much because you have more freedom.
Okay, well, now we're bleeding into two different areas of this same deal here, because there's the one where you need to be working with other people, in which case, in whatever industry you're in, there is no room for an ideas guy. No one's going to get hired just because they have a cool idea for a story, because there is no proof that you are capable of pulling it off or working with people. On the other end, however, there is the route of going by yourself, whether you're writing a book or maybe a comic or something like that, where, yeah, it is possible to do the entire thing yourself. However, if you have the idea for, this 300-episode thing, actually making that 300-episode comic is probably going to become a bit more of a grind very, very quickly. And how easily are you going to be able to stay committed to that very specific plot when, you know, right to the end? Ukron, you were able to pull off a ridiculously long comic. However, you've reiterated many times that it was never intended to do that.
No, yeah. So mine wasn't really plot-based. It was just strip comics. And funny enough, once I introduced the plot, things got very difficult. And everything started taking a lot of time. And it didn't pay off anymore. So I quit.
Oh, there you go. So it was, you know, when it was sort of just chipping away at it and letting things happen, that it grew into existence as it happened, right?
Yeah.
So that's because you had execution. The ideas were kind of irrelevant. They happened as a byproduct of the execution. You were making the comic and more ideas were happening and, you know, it was all sort of coming together at once. If you have ideas and you're able to plot out this whole ridiculously long comic but you lack execution, then what's the point?
Other than, I guess, just enjoying the fact that you have ideas. Like getting the dopamine of having an idea, but not actually creating anything.
It's fun for wandering about and daydreaming, but you're not going to get anything done, and you're certainly not going to be able to build a career out of it.
Yeah, so the question is, how do you take your idea and execute it in a way that will be satisfying to you and still end up creating something where you don't get burned out and you're able to finish what you planned to do?
Well, it's a good question because, in my opinion, the advice doesn't really go much further than, you know, just do it, like just get started. And it's more effective to sort of just have this kick up the ass to say, stop daydreaming and stop planning. Because, you know, we've talked about like world builder syndrome before, and it's just an extension of that. Like where I've met with young artists and, you know, they have really cool ideas and they're really into their story and the thing that they're making. But I have a look at their sketchbook and it's the same couple of characters in a very similar pose, in the same outfit with the same expression, page after page after page. You know, they're just sort of, they're happy with what exists currently. They're happy with the idea and there is a lack of any real sort of risk or adventurousness to, you know, actually getting started on the story and the project itself, that is kind of scary, I suppose. And, you know, I'm guilty of this as well, where I've had ideas for a project for years and years and years, and then I look back and think, well, it never really got started.
Well, you have to give yourself some leeway as a kid, and, you know, for, like, you're still exploring ideas and how to put them down. But when you get older and you're able to actually begin creating stuff, then you need to stop daydreaming and move forward. And, you know, it's easy to say. It's
I don't know. I disagree. I think even as a kid, because when I was talking to like young students and myself as a kid as well, where there would be so much concept art of, you know, imagined characters and things like that. But the ones that I actually ended up making comics and stories and things out of were the ones where the story and the characters in the world grew as I drew it. That was one of the reasons why it was fun to make, because I was just I was the one who was excited to see what would happen on the next page because I hadn't decided it yet.
Okay, so you're the type of creator who does, it's called like explorative writing or something like that, which is you start with some groundwork, like, okay, here's the world and here's the characters, and then you just kind of explore what happens as you go. So that, I just wanted to point out that it is one specific type of way to do it. Some people can't do it very well that way, so if you try that and you find it doesn't work for you, then instead what you want to do is have some kind of outline or plan, so you're not just wandering around in the dark and get stuck not knowing what to do. Just two different types.
Oh, totally. That's very true as an adult. Like, I certainly struggle to jump into anything without any planning at all. Operating as a kid, though, it doesn't matter so much how heavily planned out something is. And yeah, the imagination of a child is usually a lot more lively and free, and the more wonderful stuff tends to come out while exploring. That is a good point, though. I hope it doesn't undermine my entire argument here.
No, it doesn't. I just wanted to point that out. But I was going to say, in a way, if you're young and you want to make stuff, now's the time to do it, because you're not as worried as you're going to be about what other people think and stuff. Like, you just want to make your cool thing. So start making the comics and see where it goes. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect, and just go.
I was going through my nostalgia box a couple of months ago, and I was very pleased to see, like, all the old comics and little stories and things that were there. And what bummed me out was seeing folders full of just the same characters without it really exploring a whole lot. You know, it wasn't them... It wasn't concept art of them, like, in different worlds or different situations, different expressions. It was just a drawing of the character. It's like it was fan art of my own stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you allow yourself to do that every now and then, but what's nice to look back on is if you've actually made something, like I've got all these Sin Wolf comics where she does stuff and there's jokes. I mean, they're all just strip comics with jokes, but I could go back through them now and even like laugh and think, oh man, that was so funny, or that was so insightful. And they, you know, that was 5 years ago. Well, probably more like 8 years ago now. And I could repost them and they're still there. So it's not just a drawing of some character. It's an actual thing.
The problem is, I think it can be dangerous to get stuck when you are still, like, when you're still, like, learning and trying to figure everything out for the first time. Like, when I sort of settled into one particular style drawing a particular set of characters, it was really hard to get out of again. Like, I got used to it. Got used to it quick. And it wasn't until I was nearing adulthood that I started to get into the idea of doing something completely different every single time I put pen to paper. And, like, yeah, it would almost always suck. And it, in a way, it took some of the fun away because it was like, oh, well, I'm not happy with anything I'm making. But it was improving overall as opposed to just being stagnant and staying the same for a few years.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's another area where you and I are different, because I never, like, the style in those comics evolves as they keep going. I mean, it's like Garfield, right? If you look at the first book of Garfield.
That's a good point. But that's the thing. That's happening because it's in a comic as opposed to just filling a sketchbook with them just, like, standing there in a T-pose.
Well, anyway, let's go back to the ideas versus execution thing, and let's think about animation specifically. So, you're pretty passionate about this topic. What are some of the reasons for that, about the ideas versus execution in animation?
Mainly because it frustrates me when there is a certain element of superiority, elitism, or entitlement, because you think you have a good idea for a product without having the skills to actually be able to pull it off.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. Let's say you have an idea, but you don't have the skills to animate it. So what are your options now?
Go get the skills.
Yeah, you either have to get the skills yourself, or you're going to have to pay someone to do it for you. Mm-hmm. So you can see, just looking at those two options, what your future might look like, right? So if you're going to pay someone to do it, then you should be getting some kind of career where you have the money to do that.
Even then, it's tricky when paying someone else to do it, because you don't necessarily know what's good or not.
Well, that's true. That is true.
You don't know what it takes to be able to put something together. So therefore, your notes and corrections are more likely going to lead to a dodgier product.
That's what we talked about this, actually. We talked about this in the critique episode. So if you want to hear us discuss more in depth about the relationship between an animator and the person who's paying for the animation, when the person who's purchasing it might not know a lot about animation, and the kind of the sacrifices that you make as an artist when you're working with a client like that. Yeah, we talked about that in the critique episode. So just FYI.
Well, I guess my main thing that I want to put forth here, and like I say it to myself as well, is one reason why I'm sort of passionate and like revved up about it, is just however many people might be hearing this who like to talk about their ideas. Oh, I've got this project. I'm going to do this thing. How many of them have you actually done? How many of them have you finished? How many of them have you started? And how many of them do you just like to talk about and imagine? And until you've actually finished something, it might be time to shut up and get to work a bit.
I was wondering if you were going to say that. You did. You actually said it. Shut up and get to work. But we're all kind of guilty of it.
Well, I don't want to sound mean, but I just want to, like, you know, sometimes you do need a bit of tough love to sort of get on with it. And I've been in that position as well where, you know, I'm seeing, like, my peers just making amazing stuff, and here I am still just sort of sitting here imagining it and being like, well, what do I have to show for my time? You know, I've built up something in my head that is now too big in scope to even pull off, or so much time has passed where it's probably not even good enough anymore. The main thing is that coming up with this cool idea wasn't what's special, and anybody can do it. Everybody has opinions on games and films. your great idea isn't unique.
So you just want to see people make stuff. So the question is, well then,
I want to see people make stuff. And
yeah, so how do you inspire them to do that?
Well, this is sort of what my method is. It's just sort of like saying you're not unique for thinking of something new. You're unique when you can pull it off. And sort of being a bit brutal about it is usually what gets me into gear. And it can be easy to fall into that rut because we see the output of what comes out in a lot of media to be the opposite. You know, there are a lot of very lame ideas that actually do get made. So it can be easy to fall into the mindset of, well, if I think of something actually good, then it's absolutely going to get commissioned, right? No. There are so many production Bibles floating around that are so good, but they just don't get picked up. Meanwhile, there's a lot of dodgy stuff that do just get commissioned.
Okay. Can you talk more about that? Because this is a thing I see a lot, which is people, they have their production Bible. If you don't know what that is, it's basically your pitch for your animation idea. So you put all your characters, the scenario, and the setting together, and then you try to pitch it to studios like, hey, this is the idea we're going to make. I see a lot of that too, and every now and then I'll get people asking me about, you know, what do you think about this, or like, can you look through my production Bible?
Yeah, so the Bible plays a couple of roles, because one, it demonstrates the idea, and I know that sort of goes against what I've just been saying, because all it is like, here's my idea, but because it is visual, it's got, you know, the characters, the worlds, a whole bunch of episodes and stuff like that, it does demonstrate to a degree that you should have what it takes to pull it off. Or at least enough to say that, hey, if you give me money to a pilot, I can prove to you that I have the chops to pull it off.
Yeah, and to put it then in that regard, if you have a production Bible, you've shut up and made something.
Yeah, yeah. And it goes twofold because, you know, like when pitching something, like what they're listening for isn't just good ideas that they think will... Well, there's good ideas. There's ideas that will sell. And then there is investing in the people who can pull it off on time and on budget. And sometimes that's why we see a lot of garbage shows coming out, not because they're good, but because they can get made on time and on budget. And sometimes because, hey, they'll sell toys, or it's more likely to get ratings because it's jumping on a trend or something dumb like that.
I was asking about production Bibles and your experience with them, and like what you've seen. In that regard,
it's difficult to say because, like, of course, like most of them are things that haven't gotten purchased or made yet. So, you know, you can't really talk about them.
Oh, like, I see what you mean. Okay, right.
But the main thing is, like, you know, you can have a really, really talented independent artist who has a great idea and even has execution, and even then can hit that roadblock, because if you don't have the right connections, then, you know, some dodgy stuff can get made just because they know the right people.
I was going to say, animation's no different from any other business in that regard. It's a lot of it is about who you know. So
we are going into a different topic there. So, well, let's write it down for the next one or two of not what you know, who you know, because that is a huge thing. And we've been going for a little while on this one, but is there anything else about ideas versus execution in your experience you'd like to put out?
Okay. In my experience, we'll see. Cause your experience, this is what's so fun about our Animoot show, is that we come from two opposite backgrounds. So your experience is more to deal with like execution on the studio side of things, as in, you know, what kind of projects are actually going to get made. And that's why, you know, sometimes they're not that great, but they still get made because they can be done on time.
Kind of both, really, because where I first started to learn about this topic was when I had students. And a lot of them were in, you know, late primary school, early high school. And I would see very talented artists with a lot of potential, but they'd sort of put themselves into a rut because they were more focused on their ideas rather than their talents.
Mm.
And the thing is that when you're working for someone else, a lot of the time, your own ideas don't really matter. It's how good, being really good at executing on someone else's ideas is what really gets it. If you've got a director or a producer who is, you know, explaining their vision to you, and you're able to interpret it, that, understand it, and put it out in a way that meets their vision and is also really, really good, then, you know, that's golden. Because sometimes that's a really difficult balance too, because sometimes a producer's ideas may not be that fantastic. And But straying too far from it is also a no-no. You need to, like, keep it in line with their vision and also make it compatible and decent. Yeah, yeah. How do you do that? How do you do exactly what you're being told, but also manipulate and move things around without bumping into the wall so much that you can keep yourself happy, the investors happy, and the audience happy? It's tough.
So, yeah, that's the execution side of things, right? Which is you have the idea, and how are you going to make it actually work on the animation software and work in a team setting and you know, work that it can be done on time. So on, like, the small independent side of things, that's not that much different from taking commissions. So there are some artists who are incredibly popular, some animators who are extremely popular. And when you look at their artwork, it's good, but there are people who are amazing but don't get any commissions. Well, I guess we're kind of going back into who you know again, aren't we? We're going back into who you know. But the thing is, like, those artists are probably getting the commissions done on time or have a style that just happens to appeal to everybody. So that's about their execution. And they're not making their ideas, they're making your ideas, the person who's purchasing the art. So, I mean, a lot of the time in art and animation, you're not really working with your own ideas.
Very rarely. It's one reason why I'm doing a personal project now, is because it's like a bucket list thing of, I want to be able to make, you know, something that is my own idea just once. If I finish it and get it done, then it's like, okay, that's happened. Now I can go back to being normal.
And I'm the opposite. I've really been feeling like, I work on something that isn't mine. I want to go work on a big production where my name is just buried in the credits. It doesn't matter. But I can look at it and say, wow, you know, I was a part of that. And I got to experience what it was like to work with other people. And I learned a lot from it.
Yeah, you should be like, hey, you see that bit on shot 37, frame 43, how the line there was a line that overlapped the edge a little bit there, and now it doesn't. Yeah, I fixed that thing that you don't notice.
You know everything that's not there? That's because of me. Inspiring words to get on with it? Get on with it. Get on with it. I know we're all kind of guilty of it. I know we have all ideas that we talk about all the time. I try usually to not talk about my ideas.
No,
oh,
that's
no,
it.
Look, he's all excited. He's going to interrupt me. All right, go on.
I'm sorry. I need to, because, like, I keep forgetting a point where I'm like, okay, mental note. Wait for a gap and then bring that up. And then maybe even just talking about this, I've forgotten again, haven't I? I have.
Wait, did you forget?
When talking about forgetting things, I talk about what it was.
Are you kidding me?
It's the worst. It's the worst.
I was on a great speech there. Now I don't remember what
it was. Now you've forgotten as well? Oh, man.
Something about get your stuff made. I said we were all guilty of having ideas that we want to do. We talk about them. I try not to talk about them because I find if I do, I sort of lose inspiration. But
something that I found quite surprising upon entering studio environments was it was actually pretty rare to find people who were taking on their own things as well. Right? There were a handful of people that had gotten so into the idea of executing on other people's ideas that they now no longer had the energy to come up with their own. I found that really surprising.
No, to be honest, if I was doing studio work right now, there's no way I would. It takes so much energy to focus on that.
Well, I find that happens as a natural result where I end up not really doing anything else, but it doesn't stop me from wanting to do so. And I think that's why after every one or two gigs, I need to take a couple months to be like, okay, I need to do another thing just for a bit.
Well, to be fair, it's a little bit different if it's a twist on what you're doing. So if you come home and make a tutorial, that's different than doing cleanup all day. But if I were animating, and then when I come home and had to animate my own stuff, that's it's hard enough to do when I do commissions. And then at the end of the day, to try and work on my own stuff, ugh, I can't do it. It's hard. It's a lot of focused attention on the same type of thing.
Indeed. It's, even doing videos, I find that I just do need one proper thing. And when I do go back to a studio, I'll probably actually embrace that next time, as opposed to trying to chip away on something on the side and then just not doing it.
Mm, yeah, to have something that's different. Anyway, yeah, we're getting off topic again, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we'll wrap this up by saying go Start making your thing. You just do a little bit at a time or whatever. Just stop thinking about it. Write it down. Do something. Make it real. Turn it into a physical item somehow.
And keep it plausible. There's no need to imagine a 300-episode anime or a Skyrim-level game.
Make the first episode or, you know, make a little mini-game instead to start.
Or if it is something that's intended to be like a larger series, do the production bible. And then you can show it to someone and they'll say, well, that's good, except change this, 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 and this. And then you can be like, okay, well, now I'm glad I didn't make 300 episodes because they wouldn't have bought it.
All right. So thanks for listening and see you next week. Well, see you. I guess, hear you. Have you listened next week? Whatever.